her brokering? I think that's what you usually say. I mean, if you're her broker, you say that. I did not write this song. My Lois wrote this song. I left, maybe some of you know that I left Lois. I left her 7 minutes ago up in the kitchen. You were very worried because I had a very large comma in there. I left her in the kitchen doing pots and pans. I had all kinds of feelings today doing pots and pans after that meal. I mean, to eat the meal is one thing, but when those pots sort of stick to each other, it's like, I mean, Elmer's glue has got nothing on on what we had tonight. And so I thought of my mother again, because my mother gave me warm hand lessons. That's best I can think of right now. I just make these things up as I go along. But my mother did the same. She had homemade things. She had homemade pie. And if you ask her how to make it, you know, you could never follow her recipe. You know how that is. It's called original thinking. And so my mother came to my mind because she gave me warm hands. That was called helping her with the dishes a great deal. That's the best, I guess I could title it better than that, but I helped her with the dishes a great deal and with a great deal of pleasure. Because it seemed like we talked about things that we wouldn't talk about when you run a dishwasher. And besides, I never knew there was a dishwasher. So it really wasn't anything I missed. It wasn't anything that was part of my Nebraska culture. That's a nice sound. It's preparation for Advent, and then comes Christmas. And then Epiphany. And then you all turn into wise men and wise women. The song Lois wrote is really a nice song. It's a lamb song, but I'm going to use it as a chicken song tonight because I have a chicken and I don't have a lamb. But you could be my lamb or my chicken. Lambs were very important in the day of Jesus. Some got marked, and if they were marked with a plus or an X, it meant the lamb was a super lamb, and the lamb was also a supper lamb. I just thought of that. Don't you like it when you just think of something and then you say it before you give it to the editor? We've got so many editors in us that we don't enjoy ourselves as much as we probably enjoy another lecturer. And my reason for being at Holden is always to bring you more joy than I have myself. And the joy that I want for you is in you. And that funny person that no one sees is the one that I would like for you to unfold, unravel. I don't know how you say it. You wouldn't believe, would you, that for 19 years I've been teaching in the Navy Chaplain's Career School? Why would the Navy hire me for 19 years? They get so mad at me after the first half hour when I go like this. I have had chaplains chase me around the room trying to get me for all kinds of things. For instance, I can remember 1 year all I did was I took a spool of, or just some yarn or some, and I just rolled it out in the middle of the room, and I held the end of it. I may have tied it to a cross for all I know. It was a chaplain's school. I thought they might like it. I just rolled it out there. It's kind of like when you can't go to Reno and you just would like to once, and they're going to pay you to do it. So I just rolled it, and I could just, one man turned redder than your jacket, and then finally he said, "Get that out of here." I was rather amazed because it was the best part of my speech. It must have caught his attention. And then, so I said, you can do it. So he took my speech and raveled it all up again and put it back on my desk. Have you ever had anyone do that to you? You have too? It doesn't feel real good, so you wait. And then after recess, I came back in the room and there it was, back where I had rolled it. And he said, my daughter ran away last week. And when it rolled out there, he saw her go. See, I couldn't see that because I didn't know what he saw. I didn't want to know what he saw. I can hardly know what I saw. But I know that when something happens, when the trees move a little, someone sees wind, someone sees a norther coming, and someone sees the spirit. You never know. You never know what they see. Now, I think by now you probably know this tune. I'm holding my chicken on the inside of the chicken cloth, because so many people think this is ugly. They think that I want to give it to them to make a skirt out of, but I really don't. I just want to have it. But the inside of this chicken cloth is what I'm about tonight. It's the interior, the inside, not the outside. Joseph and Mary, they didn't take a lamb. Of course, I know where I am. These are all my notes. This says offering, and lamb was an offering. You see the line from basket to lamb to offering? The lamb is the song. This is the chicken. So I've got a line from here to here to here. Those are my notes. You thought it was just... I mean, people come to my office, so they don't know those are my notes that they step over. And through, and in with and under, and around. Joseph and Mary didn't have money for a lamb, but they had money for a turtle dove or a chicken, because they went poor. And the chicken was a poor people's offering, and I have written 55 chicken poems. Many of them have to do with Dachau and Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Ravensbrück and Sachsenhausen, where the wings got clipped and they couldn't fly over the fence. So now I'm in a death camp. Strange how the mind can go from A to B to C to D. But we always unfold. Our mind is looking for the next thing. And the next thing came from where we were. My mother, years ago, in the warm dishpan, gave me my night. She makes me feel good tonight. I have my hope, I have my future from my history. I want to sing this song with this little lamb. Little lamb, do you know? Do you know who made you? The green grass underfoot, the blue sky up above. Was it God who sent you to teach us how to love? Sing it with me. Little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Do you know who made you? Do you know who made you? The green grass underfoot, the green grass underfoot, the blue sky up above, the blue sky up above. Was it God who sent you? Was it God who sent you to teach us how to love, to teach us how to love? Now you could sing Little Herb. Little Herb. That's my name, Little Herb. Do you know who made you? Green grass underfoot, green grass underfoot, the blue sky up above. speak. Was it God who sent you?
Was it God who sent you?
To teach us how to love?
Teach us how to love.
That's a very nice question. I imagine you men feel cheated, so we'll sing Little Boy. Little
Boy.
Little Boy.
Little Boy.
Do you know?
Do you know who made you?
The green grass.
The green grass underfoot,
the blue sky up above,
the blue sky up above.
Was it God who sent you?
Was it God who sent you?
To teach us,
to teach us
how to. Now softly, real gently, to the women. Little girl.
Little girl.
Little girl.
Little girl.
You know who made you? Green grass underfoot,
green grass underfoot,
the blue sky up above,
the blue sky above.
What a nice song for baptism. Was it God?
Was it God who sent you?
To teach us how to love,
to teach us how to love.
Or for Christmas, little Lord.
Little Lord.
And give everyone a chicken.
Little Lord.
Or a lamb.
Do you know who made you?
Or each other?
The green grass underfoot,
the blue sky,
the blue sky above.
Was it God who sent you?
Was it God who sent you to teach us how to love?
Will you sing to us while we do this? It's little, some of you sing Little Girl, some of you sing Little Boy. We'll have a little Christmas over here. Under this room. It's when you don't have a chicken. When you can't find a lamb, just find a member of the church. Or a prospective member, or an enemy.
Or a stranger, huh?
Rejoice, we're rejoicing, okay? Sing to us.
Little Christ, little Christ, little Christ.
chicken I had.
She just had that look in her eye. You know how they look at you when you come into the chicken house? She wondered what in the world she's doing at Holden Village under a chicken dog with a strange man singing a love song, you know, and you looking and seeing the image of Christ. It just seems like three lectures, doesn't it? Or a whole year's sermon. Now I'm looking for my notes to see what tonight was going to be about. Thank you. Just stay near. Okay? Well, yes, stay here by us. Don't go away. Don't stay put, but just stay.
My new desk.
I would like to have you find your heartbeat. Would you find your own? If you don't find it, don't worry. But just find it.
Yeah.
Now, we were very physical already tonight, quite physical. We had a chicken, which was sort of a lamb, which was sort of the Christ, which was sort of each other. And we had some embracing, and it seemed like the more physical we became, the more awesome it was, frightening, maybe. When we sang to the little boy in me, that was one thing, but the little boy in you, sir, that's another thing. Can you imagine a whole congregation singing to you, little boy, where have you been? At your funeral? I mean, that would be a very good question. You wouldn't even have to answer. But it would raise a very nice question. Where have you been? Was it God who sent you to teach us how to love? It's a very good question at the beginning of life. There's some very good questions. If you can find a really good question, I'd like to have one this week. I like really good questions as much as I like good answers. You have your pulse? I'm taking the pulse of the chicken. I've taken my pulse so many times in the last 3 years, I'm just going to let it go and presume it's going. And will you say aloud, Lord,
Lord,
make me conscious,
make me conscious
of my life.
I feel my pulse.
My heart beats.
My life is.
I can feel it.
The
way my mother felt it,
in her,
and she was glad.
And I am glad
for my life
and their life.
When I feel my heart beat
in
excitement
after running
and running
and good news,
Lord.
Lord,
my heart has a way
of
taking care of things
that matter a lot,
daily,
silently,
what is beyond my control.
May the continual beat of my heart
be a sign,
a symbol, Lord,
of your life.
Everlasting to me.
And may this life of mine,
in me tonight,
celebrate
at Holden,
and at home,
a life to come.
Jesus.
Amen.
Yes,
Yes, yes,
yes.
Czechoslovakian, you probably knew that. And tak tak means yes, yes in Poland. This is a Polish rock. Did you know it, that I had a Polish rock?
You told us?
Yeah. Well, you were here yesterday.
Yes.
You wanted to hold a Polish rock for a minute?
I love rocks.
Pardon?
I love rocks.
You love rocks? Why don't you keep them? Then I know where it is. Where do you live?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Fine. You can. I'll phone you once in a while to see me. I want to tell you a story about. Play softly. Whatever. Very fun. Just chord it. Chord it, kind of childlike. That's nice, kind of hum along, that's nice. Slower, a little slower. Even slower, that's nice. Because he wasn't very old, he was getting a start. His name was Seth, he was 5. It was in New Hampshire. I don't ever want to forget it. People ask me, do you read Niebuhr? I say, I read Niebuhr, right now I'm reading Seth. Seth is 5. Well, he's older now, but when I knew him in his prime was when he was 5. And Seth heard an announcement in the village, and the announcement was, we will make a quilt for Maria. Now, this was in New Hampshire, and Maria lives in Berlin East. And so Seth thought it was just around the corner. And Seth wanted also for something that he had to be in the quilt for Maria. Now Maria is a person who's been my boss for about 18 trips into the East Block. She's an atheist, but when her child was born and her husband had left her, she went to a hospital and there she saw the diaconate work, the compassionate work of Christ in these women. And so when she raised her child to her face, she said, I don't know why, but I just said, you are Maria. And so now Maria lives with a woman named Petra. Petra is the mother and Maria is the girl. And I said in New Hampshire, let's make Maria a quilt. And let's everyone bring a little. And they brought a sewing machine and then they brought their clothing. They brought much clothing. But Seth heard the announcement that we were going to make a quilt for Maria and everyone was going to have something in the quilt. And he came to the door of his little cottage and he opened it. And it was just as though he had rehearsed it. He opened it and he took his pillow. And this is just the end of it, the edge of it, the leftover, the crumb of the pillow. And it, you know, it had a hole in it. It was so loved. It was just dripping from within. And he shook it and he said, Maria, will you say that with me? Maria! Now say it all the way from New Hampshire to Berlin. Would you say it?
Maria!
And then he said, it's for you!
It's for you!
Once more, the whole sentence.
Maria! It's for you!
Wouldn't that be marvelous to be able to say that at a clothing drive or sometime, you know? And so his mother kind of looked because she knew he liked it and that he cherished this one. And he brought it and we put it in Maria's quilt, and this is the rest of it. This is the treasure. I've taken it with me wherever I go. It was the first thing I touched before I spoke to you tonight. Now, I don't believe in relics, but I believe in being in touch with people who give you strength. And this little boy, at the age of 5, is one of my heroes. I like a little boy who stands at the edge of his house and shouts all the way to Berlin to someone whom he doesn't know, "I'll give you the best I have in my house." He doesn't need a lecture on it. He doesn't need to go very much to Sunday school. But he knows one thing. He knows that Maria has something that he would like to give her. And it's the best that he's got. And he gave us his pillow. And I'm keeping this because this is going back to Seth. That was 7 years ago. I keep that story alive. And this week, I found a friend in this city, in this village. His name is Seth. And I invited him tonight. He's exciting to me. I didn't want him to leave the village tomorrow without you meeting him. Now I do this. I invite special people to be with me. And if you're very special and you want to be with me, just tell me and I'll have you be with me. See, and I won't make you nervous. I'll put some cloth around you and make you very comfortable and embrace you. I did this to Roland Bainton, who has been in this room, was in this room many times. For all I know, he's here tonight. But he did die a few years ago. We don't know how far they go and how close they come. But when I saw that he was at the end of his life, at the age of about 78, I heard him here at Holden Village. And this is a place where one hears many people, as I have heard Seth just today and yesterday. I think Seth is 10 and Roland Bainton was older. And Seth hasn't gone to Yale, but Roland Bainton did when he was young and he never got out of it. He had to stay all his life, it seemed. He was 89 and he was still at Yale. Can you imagine never being able to get out of it? But when I heard him that night, I said to him, he's, you know, Roland Bainton wrote Here I Stand, The Life of Luther. He invented Luther. If Luther never lived, it's Roland Bainton's fault because he said so much about him. And I said to Roland Bainton, you're an actor. You should go on the road. Children should see you. Youth should meet you. He said, when do we go? And 5 years later, we went on the road, and I took him on 40 festivals across the country and through Japan and into Europe. And I would go ahead and prepare the people who would then make modules of time and environment and space so that when he came in, it would be with children. And then for an hour and a half, he would be with youth, and they would celebrate old people whom they knew, like him. And they had birthdays for him where we went. I remember they said, no one will come. And 900 youth came in Denver, and they celebrated his birthday. And tonight I have Seth. Seth, come here by me. See, I had Christmas when I was his age. At his age, I had a great Christmas. It was a Christmas I shall never forget. And while he's thinking of his story, let me just tell you that that's the Christmas that I told you last night that my brother fell from a tree. And then, you know, like this week, we're going to have Advent and good, and then we're going to have Christmas and Epiphany. Well, when I was 9, we had Christmas, and we had Good Friday, and then we had Easter. And my brother was the main actor. You know what I mean? It was a willow tree. I'm high on wood. I'm high on wood. I'm high on willow. And willow rhymes with pillow. I am 61, and that was when I was 9. Everything we were, we are. And everything that happened still lives. And the little boy doesn't go away. How are you? Good. Isn't that nice? It's a funny night, isn't it? Okay, we can just don't quit right away, just in about 17 and a half seconds. Holden has been that kind of a place for me and for our family, and I'm sure for you. And on this, and in this anniversary year, I like to keep my eye on very special people. And Seth, you think of stories, don't you?
Yes.
And you can stand and tell your story, and you can sit however, whatever makes you comfortable. And maybe someone should give me a watch or just tell me what time it is. Do we have 20 minutes?
Yes.
That's good. Yes. Fine. When did you think of a story? Did you think of a story recently?
Yeah. Yeah, just about 3 days ago I figured out a story.
That's fine. Good. Well, I'd like to hear your story.
Okay. About 3 days ago I was up at Holden Mine and I made up this story. I call it Holden Mine.
Do you feel comfortable sitting or would you rather stand? Do you usually sit? Okay, you can stand if you want to. If you want to take a walk, just walk.
It's called Holden Mine. Okay, and I'll begin. Michael Rinsky was hiking up to the portal. He wanted to see Holden Mine badly. So he was hiking up the trail. It was a nice place. He got up around the bend just where he'd see the mine. But as you may know, there's sand blocking up the mine. There's sand that's falling down in the front of the mine, and it kind of helps because they don't want people going back there. And so he walked over, and for a second, he saw what he thought was that there was not sand right there. But then he saw the sand again. And like, he kind of looked at it. And then all of a sudden, he saw the sand was not there again, and behind it, and where the sand should have been, he kind of saw some light.
One thing just bothered me. If you would stand, I think it would make me feel more comfortable.
Okay.
The reason it is that because I just like, you know, when you tell a story, your whole body moves, which is so marvelous, and this chair seems to cut you in half. It keeps the bottom part of your...
And so, like, he saw the light, and then the sand was there again. You know, he kind of was looking eerily. And it's kind of that thing where you really want to get out of there, but your curiosity gets the better of you, and you kind of crawled over. There's water on it, kind of hopped from a few logs, and got to where the sand was, and he felt the sand, you know. It was real, and like he pressed against it, all of a sudden, he fell into this hard surface. Not metal, and not anything he's ever felt, but it was something. And he kind of looked around, he saw these machines and like these weird creature type things working on something. All of a sudden, he saw this kind of creature, one of the creatures come up to him and grasp his forehead, push down on him. Suddenly, he was blacked out. All of a sudden, he woke up in front of the mine. It looked the same except for some reason, the trees looked like bigger, it seemed like he just walked along and things were the same, but they were different. The trees looked bigger. Instead of a dirt road, there was now a wooden sidewalk going along the trail. He looked around. He couldn't understand it. Finally, he got back to Holden Village, and it was different. It was newer. It was in every way newer. He walked up to one of the elderly persons, and he said, "I'm Mike Rinsky. You might be looking for me." And he said, "Ah, don't lie, Sonny. You can't be Mike Rinsky. He was lost in the forest 5 years ago." And so, you know, he told other people, but no one would believe him. Finally, he moved out beyond the tailings and got a little cottage. And on clear nights, sometimes he would see the mine, and then there'd be no, he would see lights where the sand should have been. But then there it would be again. The end.
Makes me very happy. You remember her name?
I don't.
You don't either. I think her name was Rejoice.
Is that right? Well, you make me very happy. So we'll sing Joy to the World very soon.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
You, and then I would like to tell you one more story that is a joy story and a Lord story, the presence of Christ. I think this is a very nice picture of us here right now. I think it'd make a nice bulletin cover. I like it. Great pages, many paragraphs have been written about this, what happens between generations. You can go to lectures on heroes and mentors and mentees. It's right in here. We'll have to, I'll give you my, have you got a calling card? No?
No.
I do. We'll have to stay in touch, okay? That's what I really meant. And we'll have to stay in touch. We'll all have to stay in touch. We'll have to get in touch. Not only with each other, but the little boy, the little girl inside, and the poor people's chicken, and the lamb of God. Or just the lamb until you can see the Lamb of God. Or Seth, I think we could give you a little of this, don't you?
Sure.
I mean,
you.
Thank you.
You do have that same nice name. The week that was and still is the week I would have called Emma. When we came here, they talked about rainbow and mountains, and they talked about black and white, and they talked about all kinds of people. I remember, and there was a person named Hertzfeldt who was still here. She was here with her son, and I remembered Willie Hertzfeldt when I gave him a back rub but couldn't find him because he was so black. In the sauna, he kept telling me that I couldn't find him because he was so black. I can remember my time with Willie Hertzfeldt up here, or many times with Willie. And tonight I'm thinking of one of my mentors. She's older than you, and her name is Emma. I just like some real soft Emma chords. Just chords. That's a little fast for Emma. See, she's great. She's probably has her master's degree in music, and she's improvising now. This is really nice. This is how she began her music. And she'd say, "Mommy, listen to my chords." And now we've got her back to the beginning. And Emma was that kind of a woman. When Emma came to us, she always stood, Seth. She always stood, and she'd do just like you. She'd just pivot back and forth. And we said, "Emma, why do you swivel like this?" She said, "'Cause I was never cut in half by a desk." She never went to school. And then she always introduced herself as the Lady of the Lord. And she'd say, "You's looking at the Lady of the Lord." And she, we were all looking at Emma. And she'd say, "You's looking at the Lady of the Lord." And then Emma told us wonderful stories like your story. And they were true for Emma. She took fact and then she kind of added fiction to it. And then it got to be true. And she said when I goes to Detroit, Michigan on the bus, Jesus gets on the bus with me. That's what she said. So I went down to the bus station to see if he got on the bus going to Detroit. I never saw him get on the bus, but I never saw Emma either. So I figured that maybe it's true that when Emma goes to Detroit, that Jesus gets on the bus with her. And then she said, when I was a little girl in Mississippi, she said, I was very sick, and my aunt, she comes through the cornfield, and she picks corn, and she makes mush for me, and she makes mush every day. Every day she makes mush, until I got real well. And then she said, so you see, Jesus is my doctor. Isn't that nice? And she's a real storyteller. She could get all the way from mush and her aunt in Mississippi to Jesus just by saying, comma, so you see, Jesus is my doctor. And then she said marvelous things like, gimme Jesus. I looked under gimme in the dictionary and couldn't even find it. She used words that Webster didn't even know. She said, gimme Jesus. And when she was doing all this, a lawyer, you know lawyers, what they are, you know how long, I mean, they get cut in half by desks sometimes, but maybe not, but she, this one didn't. He sat in the corner and he wrote down everything she said on a piece of paper, and she couldn't read, you know. But so when we had Holy Communion, he put this paper down, we put the bread and the wine on it, and then he wanted to say some powerful words, and he read, gimme Jesus. You know what she said? That's right. Then he read, when I goes to Detroit, Jesus gets on the bus with me. And she said, that's right. It was as though Emma was agreeing with Emma. And that is a marvelous thing to do. When you agree with yourself, that is a marvelous thing to do. There's a word the church uses. When people agree with themselves, they usually say, amen. That's what they say. And that is an awesome thing. You know what awesome means? What does it mean?
It means... I know what it means, but I can't explain it.
Sure, that's exactly what it means. Exactly what it means. It's when you know what it means and you can't explain it, and you look up here in left field, right? That's where you are looking. That's where it is. I my mother-in-law, who's 93, she just behaves like you. Not exactly. She doesn't get along around as well. But I say to her, when you talk to Jesus, where do you look? She says, over here. I said, where? She said, over this way, over my left shoulder. I don't know if she's right, but she knows where to find him. And you know where awe is. It's usually up here in the left-hand corner. Okay. Why don't you just keep doing that while we leave on the piano? That is so nice. I think it's time to go. May I ask you just one question? What does this mean to you tonight? What did this mean? If I get five in here, what does this mean, what we did tonight? Give it a name. I call it beholden. What would you call it?
Comforting.
Ah, it's really nice, comforting.
Relaxing.
Relaxing. That means relax. To lax again. What? Enjoying every minute.
Peace.
Why don't you just, while she's courting, this is so nice to do, why don't you just get near somebody like this? Not too near, but near. Go ahead. Just can you do this? Can you quiet? Be quiet as you do this. A little more quiet. Now listen to these chords. We're going to sing to these chords. Just the words I give you. Yes, yes. Say we are in Christ. We only angels do foolish things like this. Right? Thank you.